Okay, so today what I would like to do is I want you to leave this session with something that you can put into your selling right away that I think you will like. Okay? That's my promise to you, is that you're going to leave with implementable material. It's one of the most important things that I teach, is how to start a meeting. Okay. Before I do that, I have one question for you. Why do people buy something? What drives them to purchase? They receive a benefit, yes? What's that? To avoid pain. Fulfills a need.
They trust you.
They want what you have. Okay. Have you ever done a wonderful financial plan for somebody, got all the numbers, looked at it and said, wow, this is so good. There ain't no way they're not buying this. Presented that to your client and not have them buy it. Right? So what is missing? It's good for them. You got all the numbers, you got all the runouts, you got all your projections. How could they not buy it? Why didn't they buy it? They were not motivated. What motivates people? What drives people? Write this down. Emotion drives change. Now, I'm going to give you, in my main talk tomorrow, I'm going to give you a booklet that has a lot of this written already, but this particular, emotion drives change. The add-on to that is very simple. If there is no emotion attached to the problem that people bring you, there is no sale. You can stand on your head, you can do all the numbers and projections, you can show them where they're going to run out of money, you can show them how inflation is going to eat away, you can show them how the guy's going to leave his wife destitute. If there is no emotion, that person is not buying from you. All research, not some research, all research, I'll show it to you tomorrow, says people change because emotions drive them to change. It's never about the money. You are sitting here, and I wish I had time to take you into that, but you are sitting here, you might be sitting here saying, well, you know, I need to make more money in my business. I need to have a higher closing ratio. You are not sitting here for any intellectual reason. What drove you here is an emotion. Either you're trying to get rid of some pain that you have, a negative emotion, like I feel like I'm way below my potential. Or you want to fulfill a dream that you have, and you have an empty hole there, and you want to fill it up. Those are emotional drives that move us all day long. There's nothing we do that is not emotionally driven. So if you want to make a sale, what's the first thing you might want to know about your client? Are they emotionally involved? Right? If the client's not emotionally involved with what I call, there are two types of emotions. We always have like emotions, you know, bubbling under the surface. And then you have what are called breakthrough emotions. A breakthrough emotion is an emotion that you cannot or your client cannot live with. So if you have a little bit of an ache in your tooth, do you run to the dentist? Nah, I can live with it a couple of more days. But if you have a real toothache and your cheek is way out here and you're in pain, what do you do? That's a breakthrough emotion. You are driven to the dentist. We are looking in sales not for hot buttons, not for tie downs, for none of those things. We really, if you want to excel in sales, we are looking for emotion. Does this person have a breakthrough emotion? If they have a breakthrough emotion, they will buy from you. It's the story of a young man gets hit by a car. He's laying in the street. He's bloody. He's all bent. I can get very visual. He's bloody. He's all bent over. You know, everything is sideways and lopsided. And some guy runs over to him and says, "I can help you. I'm a doctor." Does the young man say, "Well, where did you graduate school from? Were you in the bottom half or the top half of your class? What was your major? You know, how many years experience do you have?" Does he do that? He's in pain. "Fix me. I'm in pain." I can't tell you how many people I coach and they get into the details of everything. "Let me show you the internal rates of return on the policy." They get details, details, details. And why? People aren't going to buy from the details. In fact, they will get confused and not do anything. The sale is in the emotion. I'm going to show you how to get emotion and determine in the first 15 minutes of sitting with a client whether you want to sit with that client or not. So where you're going to have courage is that if you determine this person is not emotionally involved with their problem, you need to end the meeting and send them away. And that might be hard or difficult for you because you're sitting, it's hard to get a person to sit down with, isn't it? You know, I do dinner seminars, that's how I've built my business. You know what my cost is to get a person to sit down? $800 to $1,000 to get an appointment. So if someone walks in and says, "Hey, Steve, I got $1 million. I don't know what to do with it." 15 minutes later, I'm saying, "You know, Bob, I really appreciate you coming in, but I don't think we're a good fit." And $1 million walks out the door. When I started doing that, it wasn't easy. And if you don't have enough appointments, it becomes increasingly harder. But why spend time if you can't make a sale? The first thing is, do they have the emotion? So let me show you how to do this. I'm going to give you 10 questions. These 10 questions alone, if you learn nothing else from me, these 10 questions alone can change your entire career. Person walks in. "Thank you for coming in, sir." Or if you go into their home, "Thanks for inviting me into your home." No warm-up. That's old stuff. When I did kitchen table sales, I walked into one person's home. I said, "Oh, those are beautiful pictures of your kids and everything." He said, "Steve, every salesman that walks in here talks about those pictures. I'm really tired of talking about them." Okay, he knows what I'm going to do. I did another sale. Your clients are smart. And I took out, "May I borrow your piece of paper? May I borrow your pen? May I write on the back?" Okay, so I took out a piece of paper. I was doing one call closes at the time, and I do a T chart now. What close is that? Ben Franklin close. My client looks at me and says, "Come on, Steve, you're not going to do the Ben Franklin close on me, are you?" They know everything you're going to do. First question. Folks, what would make this a good meeting for you? It isn't, "Let me tell you about me and my business. Let me tell you how great we are." Why should they care about how great you are or how many years you've been in business? This meeting is all about them. They don't care how many, not yet. They don't even know if they want to talk to you at this point. So what would make this a good meeting for you? What could they answer? What are some of the answers you think you're going to get? "I just want to get some information." And immediately inside you get nervous. "Oh my, what do I do with that? What else could they say? Can you save me some money on my taxes? Or, okay, what else might they say? I'm looking for a good place to put some money. I'm just shopping around. Well, you said come in for an appointment, so here I am. It doesn't matter what they say. Here's a rule in a system. I'm going to give you a rule book tomorrow, but in my system, there's no mind reading. I don't care what they say. I'm not trying to figure out, is this an opening to buy where I can make a sale? Oh, that doesn't matter. Whatever they say. So what would a client say to you? What's your toughest client? Do you have one? And back there, anybody? Okay, my brother sent me in here. He said I should see you.
If this would only last 5 minutes.
What did he say?
If this appointment
only lasts 5 minutes, right. Okay, whatever they say, it doesn't matter what they say. Your next question is this. Doesn't matter. Right, could you tell me more about that? Well, my brother sent me in here. He said I should work with you. Okay, yeah, well, that's really interesting. Could you tell me more about that? You know, I'm afraid the market's going to turn down. That's what everybody's saying now. I'm afraid the market's going to turn down. You know, I talk to financial professionals that say that they get so excited when someone comes in and says the market's going to turn down. Why? Why get excited? It doesn't mean anything. The first thing they tell you never means anything. So the second question is, can you tell me more about that? All right? Who wants a role play with me? Sir, help me understand why you came in here today. Thank you.
I want to save money on my insurance.
Excellent. Okay. Could you help me out here? Could you tell me more about that?
Well, I've been paying for a policy, and I've heard on the radio that I can save money. So you have approached me. I thought I'd see what you could do.
Oh, got it. Okay. Who wants to role play with me? Anyone? This is the kind of answers I get. Well, help me understand why you came in today. What would make this a good meeting?
My husband asked me to come, and so I'm here.
Oh, good for you. Can you tell me more about that?
I guess we need some life insurance.
Oh.
Or something like that.
Really?
Is
he here? Or are you by yourself?
He's here.
Oh, good, because I was ready to send you home right away. All right. Got two answers, right? Next question. No matter what they say, it doesn't matter what they say. You get on the railroad and you follow the tracks. Next question. Could you help me? Could you be a little bit more specific? Sir? Could you be a little bit more specific?
Yeah, I've been paying $500 a month, and I think
that's not much. Is that a lot?
I'd rather spend some of that on something else.
Okay, $500 a month, you'd rather spend it on something else. Okay, pretty straightforward conversation. Am I trying to sell anything? Does it sound like a sales pitch? Who's doing all the work? If you're working hard, you're selling. Doing all the work. Next question. No matter what they say, it doesn't matter. Okay? Interesting. How long has that been going on for?
Too long. About 2 years. I figure I might have wasted a couple $1,000 that time.
Do you hear what he's telling me here? We're just role playing. You see, if he went to a traditional life insurance guy and he said he was paying $500 a month and he thinks it's too much, what would you do? Oh, I can do better than that. And you're going to go to work for that guy thinking you got a sale. You're just going to work because you've got, write this down, hopeitis, worst disease salespeople have. There's a difference between knowing you have a sale and hoping you have a sale. So look where we got. What would make this a good meeting? Could you tell me more about that? Could you be more specific? My goodness, how long has that been going on for? Next question, he already answered that. Well, not yet. What have you done, I'm curious, sir, what have you done to fix this overpayment in the past 2 years?
Nothing, that's why I'm talking to you. I keep hearing things on the radio, and this opportunity came up, I thought maybe we should do something about it.
Okay, so if I'm working with him, and he says he's done nothing over the past 2 years, what message does that send to you, which might be a problem? Procrastinator, right? He's a procrastinator. So there are little tangents we could take here, but I'm not going to take them. You know, I appreciate you sharing all of that with me, sir. Why do you think you haven't done that? This says, why hasn't that worked for you? But in his case, I'm going to say, why do you think you haven't looked into this in a 2 year period? So you don't like to, but with, so you're not happy now because we're thinking about it, right? All right, now how many questions do I have up there? Six. I still don't know whether I want to work with this person or not. Next questions. Question? Yeah, if you have questions, interrupt me. Okay, next question. What do you think that's cost you?
Like I say, I think I've probably wasted $2,000.
A couple of, is that a lot or a little for you?
I can do other things with it. I mean, I've not missed it, but I'd rather.
Sounds like a little.
Yeah.
It's a little, doesn't mean much.
Not much.
I'm losing my desire to work with this guy immediately. Whenever anyone brings up money, I lost $100,000 in the market. The answer isn't, oh my God, that's terrible. The answer is, that's interesting. Is that a lot or a little for you? Right? Because we don't know if it's a lot or a little. With me? Okay. And now, after seven questions, I can ask the most important question on this list. And this question has to deal with his emotions. You cannot ask this question first or second. You've got to go through 4 to 7 questions before you can say this. And I tell a little story, and it's called The Midnight Story. What's your name?
Stan.
Stan? And this is Mrs. Stan?
Yeah.
Stan and Mrs. Stan, can I ask you a somewhat personal question? It's not that personal. Can I? Okay.
Sure.
Let's say you're sitting late at night and you're talking to each other and you look to your wife, Mrs. Stan, and you say, you know, honey, you're talking about this. You say, you know, honey, you know what I just realized? I've been paying $500 a month too much for 2 years. That could have been $2,000-$3,000 in our pocket, and we could have bought with that $2,000-$3,000 what?
A better big screen TV.
A big screen TV. Right? How does that affect you guys personally? How does it make you feel?
We've dealt with
it. You've dealt with it. Okay. Now, is that a strong emotional response? No. So I don't believe I have a client here. I'm looking for strong emotional stuff. Well, we're really upset about that. We're really worried about that. So now I can say to this person, have you considered leaving things just the way they are? Doesn't sound like you're too worried about it. Why wouldn't you just keep doing that?
I just thought there was a chance here. So you called and thought we could look at this.
Okay, well, let's say there was a chance. When did you want to fix this?
Actually, if you could show me that I could still get what I'm purchasing at a significant cost right now, I'd take action.
Okay. So, I'm in a price proposition now. I have these written out for you tomorrow in a piece I'm going to give you. So this is a price proposition, not a lot of emotion behind it. What is the key? Will I take this client or will I disqualify the client? Would I? No, I got all 10 up here. No, I said, when did you want to fix this? He said, if you have this, I will do it. Okay? But I got one more piece. This is an add-on that I would ask to him. It's called advisor mode, which I'm going to teach you tomorrow. I would say, you know, I think I can really help you here. But let me ask you a question. When you sat down with your life insurance agent and you asked him the same question, didn't he give you a better price?
No, he was the first guy that talked to us.
What's that?
He talked to us right after we got married.
How long have you been with your life insurance guy?
2 years.
You got a relationship. Shouldn't you be sitting in front of him instead of me? He could probably help you out.
He's never contacted us since. I don't consider that a relationship.
So if I can help you, he's gonna get upset. You're giving me the business if he didn't get it.
No.
No?
He hasn't contacted me. He doesn't deserve a relationship.
Who's selling who now? Is he selling me? You see, in selling, you want your client to sell you on what you want them to do. All right, so 10 questions. This question here is the question of emotional drive. Now, again, I got an example here. There's not a lot of emotion. Let's do another. Would another role play help you?
Yeah.
Who wants the role play? You will? Okay, thank you. What's your name?
Scott.
Scott, thanks for coming in today. You know, Scott, what would make this a good meeting for you? So when you're driving home in the car, you said, man, I'm just so happy we came to see Steve. What would have to happen here today?
Show me how to get a better rate of return on money and not lose money.
I understand. That's interesting. Okay, what's my next question? Would you be nice enough to tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. I don't like losing money, and I like to gain money.
Okay, I'm sorry?
I don't like losing money, but I like it when it goes up.
Secret. Write this down. When people tell you bad things, you go deaf. Why do you go deaf? They say it again, and they say it louder because he didn't hear it the first time. So, excuse me, I didn't quite get that.
Oh, I don't like losing money.
You don't like losing money. Oh, I see. Yeah, not many people do. Could you be a little bit more specific about what you're thinking, because I don't know where to go from here. Okay, great. Thank you for that. So did he tell me anything?
He's lost money.
Yeah, he told me he lost money, but does that mean anything? Did he say anything? Should I get excited that he lost money and I could help him?
No, not yet.
Now I'll teach you this tomorrow. In that sentence is what we call a mutually mystifying word. What was the mutually mystifying word in what he said to me? Does anyone hear it? Could you say it again?
Did you go deaf again?
What?
I lost money and I don't like losing money.
No, the second part. I lost some money.
I like it when it goes up.
Yeah, I lost money. I lost some money when the market went down, right?
Okay.
Is some mean anything? So you got, what does that word mean, some? Can you help me out with some? Does some have a number attached to it?
$100,000.
$100,000. What's my next question?
Is that a lot
or a little for you? Give me a break here.
That's a lot.
Thank you. I always get the tough. That's tomorrow afternoon, 10 rounds with me, you can do anything. It's a lot?
Yes, sir.
For a reason?
Because I don't make that much every week.
I understand. By the way, how much do you make?
Every week?
Yeah.
A couple $1,000s.
Okay. Well, how long have you been thinking of fixing this fact that you lost money in the market? And how long have you been thinking about this?
Ever since the market started going down.
When was that?
A week ago.
A week ago. So you've been thinking about this a week?
A week.
Okay, never prior to that.
No, it was going up.
What changed for you?
The market.
The market went down. Okay, so what have you done to fix this so far?
Came to talk to you.
Came to talk to me. I don't know if I can help you, but can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Is that your wife?
Yes.
Okay, what's her name? Is that your wife? Okay. Hey, it could be.
This is Angie.
Angie. And you're, what's again?
Scott.
Scott and Angie. When you guys, it's a little personal, not that personal. You guys are sitting alone at home.
We're just the two of us right now. So.
You're sitting alone at home. It's quiet. House is quiet. Kids are asleep if you have them. Sipping maybe a glass of root beer. You notice how I got that? I'm so proud of myself. I really got that. And you're talking to each other and you say, you know, honey, the market's climbing high right now. It's getting really shaky. We just lost $100,000. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. How does that affect you guys personally? How does it make you feel when you start talking about it? Okay, and your biggest fear is? Not having any. And by the way, I get that a lot. The guy always says, oh, she just freaks out. He's really saying, I'm freaked out, but I'm not allowed as a man to tell you I'm freaked out, so I'll blame it on my wife. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 means you don't worry about this, and 10 means it's off the charts. Where guys put yourself? Okay. Now, what if he said 5?
She'd say 8.
She'd say 8, yeah. What if he said 4? But what if she said 4? There's no emotion in this. When did you guys want to fix this?
A week ago.
A week ago. Look, I don't know if I can help you. Who helps you manage your money now? You do it yourself? Okay, so how long you been doing it yourself?
A couple years.
Okay, so you're good at it. You're good.
I put money in there and goes up.
So you probably have a room upstairs with a computer and all of that stuff. So when you did a fix-it market drop plan for yourself, did you happen to bring it along with you so I could see what it is?
Yeah.
You did. He'd be the first one in 20 years that brought a plan around. He's a good role player. I say to people all the time, I say, you know, when you sat down with your current advisor and told him all the things you're telling me, he gave you a fix-it plan, did you bring it with you? I don't ask if he did it. I said, did you bring it with you? I'll teach you that more tomorrow. No, I don't got one. And I'll say, sure you got one. It's a spiral bound, it's got a fix-it plan. And didn't you get that from your advisor? No, I never got it. So let me ask, you're good at this. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking if you went upstairs into your little room, based on the 2 years experience you could probably put a plan together for yourself. And you really don't need me.
Possible.
It is possible, isn't it? So I'm thinking maybe you should do that first, and then if that doesn't work, come in and see me. I'll help you out. What do you think? I think we're a little premature.
Don't you want to work with me?
Not really.
That's right. Can I be candid with you? When I have a person that comes in that's done it themselves, it never works out. It never works out. Whatever I suggest, they say, I can do that myself. Isn't that honest?
Yeah.
You
well,
see.
I have that same emotion when you're asking me, like, well, wait. I've been doing that, it didn't work, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, but I'm going to push you back to doing that. And then you're going to come back to me and say, hey, look, no, I don't. It's not going to work. So my system is built by being absolutely honest with people about the dynamic that's taking place between you and the person. You have somebody that's angry at you? You ever get a client that's kind of nasty? You don't have to eat that. You know, we've been trained as salespeople, or just salespeople, whatever they do, we got to be good with it. No. There's got to be reciprocity in anything that's healthy. There's got to be reciprocity. You've got to get what you need. They've got to get what they need. So if you were being a jerk with me, what's your name? Steve. What a name. Steve. Did I offend you in a previous life? No, because I feel we're having a hard time communicating here. You feel that too? So I feel like I offended you or something. And that's what they always say. Oh, I had a bad day today. I did. You've got to put your dynamics on the table. If you feel like you're getting nowhere in a sales call, do you have the courage to look at your client and say, you know what? I don't think we're getting anywhere here. What do you think? Does that sound like a salesman? You know, people buy from me and then walking out the door, you know what many people say to me? They say, Steve, I want you to know we became your client today, but you are the worst salesperson I ever met. Really? Tell me more about that. By the way, do not use this on your spouse. I'm telling you, don't do that. I've been through that. Too many times. Do not use this in your family situation, especially with your wife or husband. Now look here. When am I done here, John? Three thirty. Okay. So look, this is the first part of any meeting you hold. If you learn, I have people that take the 10 questions and they have a gyp sheet on there. A gyp sheet, that shows you how old I am. A cheat sheet. What do you call it nowadays? Cheat sheet. Cheat sheet. They have all the 10 questions here. But the key is it's got to sound like you guys are just talking. It's like, hey, what would make this a great meeting today? You're not grilling them. So before you start these questions, there are a couple of things you got to do. You got to get an agreement with your client. So another rule I have, and I'll give you it again tomorrow, is whenever you're going to do something to a client, you tell them first. So in this case, I know when you come in to see me, I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Well, you might feel like I'm the FBI, right? So I'm going to say, what's your name? Timmy, I tend to ask a lot of questions. Is that okay? And then you can ask me a lot of questions too. You see how easy it is? Now she's not going to be upset with me. What's your name?
Carl.
Carl. Would it be okay if I put a little pressure on you right now?
Yes.
You need to buy this today. See the difference? If I don't tell him that, he's going to feel the pressure and rebel on me. So you tell people what you're going to do. What's your name?
Alan.
Alan. The way I work, I give you the pros and cons of everything. It's my job. Your job is to tell me I like this, I don't like this. Eventually we're going to have a plan. I'm going to give you the pros and cons of the plan. My job. Your job is to give me a yes, Steve, let's implement it, or a no, Steve, let's not implement it. Any reason we can't work towards a clear yes and no without any of that think about it stuff? What do you think? Is that a good idea? You see, you can get what you want, you just have to tell them. You just tell them what you want, and it's how you say it. Now, when you ask these questions, you know, I'm speaking loud here because, you know, I'm talking to you through a microphone, but if I were talking to you personally, I would be very soft and kind and gentle and empathetic, because this stuff can be very, very challenging to people. No one has ever talked to them. They're with you 10 minutes and they're spilling their guts about their feelings. Now, relationship does not start until you share emotion with the other person. If they don't share emotion with you, all you're getting is what I call IBS. I stands for intellectual, and BS stands for BS. Intellectual will not get you business and will not get you relationships. I have to share emotion together. That's what bonds us as human beings. You know, ultimately, love is what bonds us, right? Isn't that true? I didn't hear anybody say right on that one.
Right.
It really is. I mean, it's what we're bound by. Sir? I'm sorry? There might be less. Like, I get engineers. Everyone thinks engineers have no emotion. They just don't express it. So if they're highly intellectual, I can't make the sale that way. Because if you get a highly intellectual person that doesn't demonstrate emotion to you, what is going to happen when you deliver your plan? He's going to want to analyze it. And you're going to go back and forth 20 times, and then he's going to say, you know, I met with this other guy, and he had a different idea. Doesn't work. And you'd spend a lot of time doing it. Yes, sir?
So it seems like there'd be two levels of emotional connection. There'd be one on a personal level, what's troubling them, financial.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, one to the other, personal to the business, or what's your experience?
My experience is they're willing to share their emotions in this system. You are personally connected. Otherwise, they won't share them with you. They'll say, I don't want to go. Well, they'll say, yeah, that was a lot of money. It won't be an emotion. I felt sad. I felt stressed. I felt awkward. I felt PO'd. I felt something.
My point is, I have a disabled child. You have a disabled child. We connect on that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Got to be an emotional connection. Because the money, they won't move for the money. They're going to move for the. Remember, when they move money, they're moving it to fix that emotion. They're always moving money to fix an emotion. Money means nothing. Money has no emotion attached to it. It's just dollar bills and silver. It has no, it's what we attach to the money. And when you do a great job for a client, what is the end result? You do a great job for a client, what is the end result? Think about that. They feel good. The end result isn't, you know, you bought a great life insurance policy. It makes them feel good. They have more peace of mind. They have less stress. You see, when you attach money to what people really want, they don't want money. They want what money gives them in peace of mind and comfort and feeling good and ego satisfaction. So if I'm presenting a fixed index annuity, I'm not presenting a fixed index annuity. I'm presenting something that will fix that emotion. Everything gets, that's how important this is, because once you've got the emotion on the table, your whole presentation, all your language, everything relates back to that emotion. Look, sir, do not buy this life insurance policy unless it gives you less stress. Otherwise, there's no reason to buy it, right? So my question to you is, will buying this give you less stress? Yes? Well, let's do it. You see how different that is? Then, you know, buying this is going to give you $250 extra a month of income. Sure. Can you all hear him?
So, our compliance officers love to see all this non-emotional fact finder in the client.
Sure.
Is this just basically where we start and then you go into that? Or by the time you get to this, we know their problem. We know when we yell, they're going to fix it. Do you have a process where you take them through the fact finder?
Yeah. So, I have a workbook that. If you're in our marketing organization, in other words, if you place your annuities life insurance business through us or with our RIA, we have a workbook. Now, the workbook is a fact finder, but I don't believe in fact finders. The workbook is designed we get the facts, but what do I really want to gather? Do I want to gather facts? I want to gather feelings. I'm always after, how do they feel about this? Sir, you're living on 100 grand today. Let's look on the chart here. Well, in 15 years, you need $169,000. When you sat down with your financial professional, how did you guys work out to get that increased money in 15 years? Did you bring that plan with you? No. Oh, I see. Well, looking at that right now, that you're going to need that here, you could always cut your life. How does that impact you when you're looking at that? Well, it really upsets me. A lot or a little? I always go 0 to 10. A lot. So that's something we got to fix too. Oh, yeah. So my first meeting, when I end the first meeting, we got to fix this, we got to fix this, we got to fix this, we got to fix this. And the end of the first meeting is, look, what's your name again?
Carl.
I forget names. Carl, I think you're a perfect client for me. Okay? You're fit, and I really can help you. That's what I believe. This is what I would do. We got to fix this, 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 and this. If we fix all of that, will that give you peace of mind and less stress and less worry?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm thinking a second meeting would be a really good idea. What about you? Now, that guy is coming back for a second meeting. Now, if I run through a bunch of numbers at the first meeting, let me show you our investment analysis tool. Let me show you my income projection tool. He's going home, blah. Then they don't come back. You ever wonder why clients disappear two meetings down the road, like the aliens came in and abducted them? It's like that, isn't it? You have a good first meeting, a good second meeting, and you say, boy, I got one. Right? And then they don't come in. Do you ever get them on the phone again? What happened to you? They disappear. Two reasons they disappear. You didn't connect emotionally, number one. Do you know the second one? You gave them too much information. They think they know what you're thinking. First meeting. No, they get no idea. They get nothing. What do they want from you? Don't give it to them. That's your jewels. That's what you have worked 10, 15, 20 years to accumulate in your head, what they want to know. Do not give it to them unless they are ready to buy. So in my world, they don't get information unless I know the sale is already closed. Right? They get nothing. Well, can you give me some ideas on how that fixed index annuity works? Never happens. I wouldn't even bring up fixed index annuities to them. Can you give me an idea how? First meeting, never say it anywhere. You know, I think you're a good candidate for life insurance. When they go home, what are they saying to each other? Oh, he's just trying to sell me a life insurance policy. No information. First meeting is all, yeah, mm-hmm, uh-huh. Really? How did that happen? How long has that been going on for? When did you want to fix it? What changed for you? Can you tell me more about that? How does that make you feel? You know, I get upset just hearing that. You tell that story. It's upsetting me. Are you upset? Oh, yeah, we're upset too. You know, I think we could work together. We got to fix this, 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 and this. You want to come back? Six and above.
Six and above.
Preferably seven and above. I'll show you how to handle that tomorrow. Yeah, but guys are four. I'm not going to make a sale. They're going to take and tell me I want to think about it. They're not, they don't care that much. I mean, we can give projections all day long. That's a beautiful report Jason gave. I mean, it's really terrific. If I showed that to a client that wasn't emotionally connected, you know what they're going to do? Nothing. Oh, really? Yeah, that's a bad thing. Let us think about that. Sir?
Yeah, earlier you said kind of a phrase that I liked. I'm not trying to remember what it was. Say, look, I want to be kind of clear with you.
Can I be candid? I didn't say it like that. That was very challenging. Look, I don't want to deal with any of this. It's got to be Here's how I work. I'm going to give this to you tomorrow again. But just listen for the moment. What's your name?
Carrie.
Carrie, just listen. Carrie, here's how I work. All right. You know, everything has pros and cons, right? Nothing is perfect. So every time we talk about something, I'm going to give you the pros and the cons. That's my job. Carrie, you have a job too, because this is a team effort. Your job is to say, Steve, I like this, I don't like this, I like this, I don't like that. Eventually, we're going to have a plan for you. I'm going to give you the pros and cons of the plan. And then your job is to say, Steve, no, I don't want to, I don't want to do it. I'm just not ready yet. That would be a no. Or you could say, Steve, this is great, let's implement it. Either way, Carrie, I'm good. If you tell me no and don't want to work with me, when you see me in the supermarket, you don't have to hide behind the mayonnaise. I'm still your friend. And if you say yes, that would be great, you're my client, I'll take very good care of you. Do you see any reason why we can't work towards a clear no and a clear yes? Oh, by the way, after 3, 4, or 5 meetings, Carrie, if you still need to think about it, because we'll be spending, if you still need to think about it after 3, 4, 5, it's not for you. We'll just call it a no, right? Is there any reason we can't work that way?
No, I like
it. Yeah. Beginning of first meeting, every meeting that gets reviewed. Sir. No, my first meeting is an hour, because there is other stuff. I still got, there's a lot of other, this is just the beginning of the meeting. This is 15 minutes. So right, so I disqualify people right away if they have no emotion. They could be the nicest people in the world. Yeah, we're really looking hard. You know, but we don't worry about it. It's not worth it. Because I'm going to spend 5 meetings with these people, and then they're going to tell me I want to think about it. Because there's no emotional drive. There's no break. They don't have a toothache. They just got a little thing in there. I've got to stop, right? Learn these 10 questions. Stick to them. It will change your entire way of meeting clients and discovering who you want to work with. See you tomorrow.